Come, Holy Spirit, by
your power,
and open to us your living word. Speak straight to our hearts, that through it we may behold your Son, even Jesus, the living word. Amen. This week, on my day off, I decided to pop down to the holiday home in County Mayo. There was a family arriving Monday night, but all the clean bedding was back here in Sion Mills. Beside that, at the other house, there was a picnic bench. After 10 long years, it had degenerated to a pile of rotten old wood. New wood was there for the job, and I thought it would be a pleasant enough thing to do there in the sunshine, and perfect for the family arriving for the week if they wanted to eat outside or perhaps to have a barbecue. With the wood cut and prepared and the nuts and bolts in place, every few minutes, I took a step back to admire my extraordinary work of art. A splash of wood preservative, and I was overjoyed. I couldn't wait for them to arrive and to use it. Well, pride comes before a fall, doesn't it? And it certainly did in this case. Arriving at the house, Mum carefully sat on the bench. My heart soared. She was pretty impressed, her confidence all the while increasing. She shuffled around a bit and got up and down a couple of times. Then there was one almighty crack, and she fell to the ground. I'd not cut the grass, I'd not hoovered or mopped as I should have done. Instead, several hours had been wasted doing something that clearly, perhaps, I shouldn't have bothered. Desperately embarrassed, I'd learned a useful lesson. Perhaps my time would be much better spent doing something that I was good at. And put very simply, that's what this morning's short gospel reading is all about. Like the story of the Good Samaritan last week, this is one of those short Bible stories that we all know so well. It's about two sisters who respond to the coming of Jesus to their home in very, very different ways. One of them just sitting at Jesus' feet, soaking him up, listening to his every word, learning. The other desperately trying to complete the chores around the house. In the past, I've heard other preachers use this same text to talk about the importance of learning together, both from and about Jesus. I'm sure I've said as much as well. But actually, in reading it ahead of today, I've come to the conclusion that that's not the point at all. It is about doing what you should be doing. It's about finding what for you is the right place. It's about finding where you fit in. It's about exercising the skills and talents, the abilities that God has given you. Do you know what's happening in the story is the kind of thing that is replayed every day in homes across the land throughout the school holidays where there are two or more children. When one has to do the washing up or clear the table whilst the other lounges in front of the TV or plays in the garden. This story has at its heart jealousy and sibling rivalry. It's about one screaming out, "But it's not fair!" It's about her imagining that somehow the one who was sitting listening to Jesus would be dealt with so ever so severely. And that's partly, I suppose, when we are approaching Jesus, what we expect. When Martha says, "Look, aren't you going to do something? Tell her. Look, she's doing nothing and I'm doing the work." I guess we expect Jesus to round on her and say, "Look, come on, this is hardly fair. Give your sister a hand." But that's not what happens. "Martha, Martha," Jesus said in verse 41. And I suspect he repeats her name because actually she's not really listening. She is far too distracted, anxious about one thing or another. She wasn't attentive. "Martha, Martha, there is need of one thing only. And what she has chosen will not be taken away from her." What she has chosen, to sit and learn and soak in the words of God's only Son, will not be taken away from her. Six or 700 years before this, God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah. He said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before ever you were born, I set you apart." There and at many other places throughout the scriptures, God's word speaks of being unique, of being formed and shaped absolutely uniquely. Scripture tells us we have been blessed and equipped with different gifts and talents. But what do we do? What do we do with them? Invariably, with scant regard for God's handiwork, we propagate a myth that everyone should be the same. we act as though one size fits all. Some are particularly cruel and will bully or criticize or undermine others because they don't do what they'd like, or they don't do it how they think it should be done. Yes, okay, you can understand why Martha is frustrated. But perhaps at that moment, more than anything else, Mary needed to listen and learn and to be with Jesus. Far from endorsing Martha's attitude, Jesus actually affirms how unique the sisters are. He acknowledges that at different times and in different circumstances, it's right and normal that they would find fulfillment in different ways and offer their service to God in quite different ways. St. Paul wrote to the growing church in Philippi and said this: work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What he meant was that for every follower of Christ, there was a duty for them to work out for themselves the implications of the gospel in their own lives. Every follower of Christ has to search their heart and wrestle with coming to terms with what God has specifically called them to do in the church, what gifts he's given them, and how they can best be used. But Mary's devotion, and more significantly, the criticism that was given, didn't serve the cause at all. And the gospel cannot be served in a church that is too busily focused on others rather than us doing what we should and using the gifts we've got. Too concerned about others than we are our own relationship with God and his call upon our lives. You may have noticed from the other reading, the words that St. Paul uses are active. The job of spreading the gospel is not a job in the past. He writes to the growing Christian church, not as if they are a finished article, but rather a work in progress. St. Paul also says this: Jesus is the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. In other words, our Christian life is a journey, a pilgrimage. It is a route we must strive to continue to walk. Surely, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a duty to support and encourage one another. Not to look critically or dismissively at the things we don't like or don't understand, like Martha did, but rather to help one another grow deeper in faith and come more fully to know what it is that God has for us as individuals. What it is that he has called us to do and fulfill together. I want to ask you a question this morning. Perhaps it's a different kind of question. How do you feel? Not what do you think, but how do you feel? See, often in church, I think we dismiss our feelings, even though our feelings are given us by God. So how do you feel about Martha and Mary? Do you relate to one of them more than you do the other? Maybe you're sick and tired of doing all the practical work in the church, and you wish someone else would do it. Maybe you sense that perhaps God is calling you to actually take hold of something new rather than to put it down. Maybe you feel that God is calling you to offer yourself to serve him and the church in a new way, in a way that you have never done before. Or maybe, just maybe, you feel that God is saying, just stop. Just stop. Stop all of the distractions. Take away all of the things around you that actually get in the way of you and me. Stop. And sit down. Sit at my feet, even as Mary did. Tiredness, frustration. Yes, it does come. Perhaps having been more like Martha, for some time, perhaps now you would do well to sit at the feet of Jesus and just listen and learn. Perhaps after the summer holiday, it might be time to step back from something practical. Perhaps join a Bible study group or something like that. Martha, Martha, said Jesus, you are worried. You are distracted by many, many things. There is need of only one thing. One thing. Only one. Let us resolve this morning not to be distracted, but rather to do that one thing. And using the unique gifts and talents that he has given us as individuals, let us serve him together. Let us serve one another even more fully and much more fruitfully.